Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
American Airlines cuts flights as travel takes off. Plus, is Wall Street shifting away from big tech stocks?
Investors have kind of broadened their appetite for other kinds of stocks and have dared to look a lot further than just the kind of tech titans.
And a look at why wages are rising for historically low-paid workers. It's Monday, June 21st. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. American Airlines is trimming some flights to alleviate potential strains on its operations. The move comes after the carrier rapidly increased flying to meet a surge in travel demand. The cuts are relatively small, about 1% of flights planned for the first half of July, according to American, but it's a sign of how tricky it has been for airlines to scale up after a year of depressed demand. Even with the latest reductions, American is flying much more than its closest competitors, United Airlines and Delta. In Alabama, at least 10 people are dead as Tropical Depression Claudette has ripped across the southeast. At least 8 people, including children, were killed Saturday in a crash involving several vehicles. A father and son were killed when a tree fell on their home. Claudette has spurred tornadoes, and the region is dealing with flash floods while heading toward the Atlantic coast. Severe weather is expected to continue until at least Tuesday. The Summer Olympics in Tokyo will include up to 10,000 Japanese spectators at each event, according to organizers. Guidelines released by the International Olympic Committee and Tokyo organizers said venues could be filled up to 50% capacity with a maximum of 10,000 spectators at each event. It comes despite advice by leading doctors that the Games would be safer without crowds. The opening ceremony is scheduled to begin on July 23rd. And Amazon's Prime Day begins today. The two-day online shopping event is a significant marker on the retail calendar. Other major retailers like Walmart will be holding their own sales around the same time. This year, Prime Day is happening earlier than usual. Here's more from Sebastian Herrera, who covers Amazon for the Journal.
They've actually moved it a month earlier. And what that does is actually move it into their second quarter financials instead of when it's typically on their third quarter financials. There's been some speculation that they did that because this next upcoming quarter for them, their second quarter, is the first quarter that they're going to really be able to compare their financial figures to last year when the pandemic really started affecting that. And last year, their sales figures during those 3 months were huge because a lot of people were buying products online and they were seeing a lot of demand that kind of obviously continued throughout the pandemic.
You can hear more from Sebastian on our sister podcast, Tech News Briefing. Big tech stocks are going their own ways in 2021. It's a shift from last year when the so-called FANG stocks took a commanding role in a market driven by the pandemic. Let's take a look at the current landscape with markets editor Quinton Webb, who joins us from Hong Kong. Hi there, Quinton.
Hi there, Mark.
So, Quinton, as we have seen, the FANG stocks, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google parent Alphabet, recovered more quickly than the broader market after we saw that downturn in early 2020. They certainly helped to power the S&P 500. A year later, are they just as influential?
Well, they're still very influential, yes. They're very large cap stocks, some of the most valuable stocks in the US market. But what's notable that the Wall Street Journal highlights today is that this year they've actually traded in different directions. So you look, for example, at Alphabet, which is the standout and is up something like 37% this year. Then you look at the laggard, which is Netflix, down 7%. And you might say that actually this is kind of reflecting the sort of dynamics of a reopening economy, if you like. Both Alphabet and Facebook rely heavily on advertising, and companies spend more on advertising, broadly speaking, as the economy reopens. Netflix, on the other hand, you might think of as a bit more of a kind of stay-at-home trade. And so actually, one of the reasons its stock is down somewhat this year is that it's reported slowing subscriber growth. And it's probably hard to keep growing subscribers at a very rapid clip when people have more things to do with their lives except sitting at home.
All right, so here we are 1 year later. In addition to the tech stocks, are there other areas, other sectors that are now catching the eyes of investors these days?
Well, I would say that's been an interesting trend of the last few months. Yes, is, you know, a kind of shift towards more traditional sectors and stocks that are kind of more geared towards an economic recovery. Now, one complication is right at this moment, we're seeing a little bit of a wobble as investors try and think about what the implications of perhaps a quicker move to stem rising inflation from the Federal Reserve would mean for this so-called reflation trade. But yes, broadly speaking, in the last few months, investors have kind of broadened their appetite for other kinds of stocks and have dared to look a lot further than just the kind of tech titans, which seem to be able to prosper whatever else happens.
Markets editor Quinton Webb in Hong Kong. Thank you, Quinton. Have a good week.
Thanks very much.
Just ahead, low-wage workers find leverage as America's economy recovers. We'll look at where things stand after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
We've talked a lot about the recent unemployment data. The number of people out of work remains high. A lot of jobs were eliminated during the pandemic, but there are other factors at play. Some may not be working because they receive more from the enhanced unemployment benefits offered during the crisis than they would earn in the available jobs. Some people still don't feel safe going back to work or need to take care of their families. There are also parts of the population using this time to figure out if what they did in the past is what they want to do in the future. One area where we've seen job openings ballooning is in fields requiring minimal education. With a smaller workforce, low-wage workers are finding leverage, getting perks like signing bonuses, bigger raises, and competing offers, things that were previously reserved for white-collar employees. WSJ's Eric Morath reports on labor economics and policy. We're glad to have him on the show. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning to you.
Eric, when we're talking about things such as signing bonuses and bigger wages, what specifically are workers discovering?
Yeah, I mean, workers are seeing things like fast food restaurants offering $200 to sign on when you're hired, or even offering gift cards to attract workers to even come in for an interview. We talked to a young woman in Frisco, Texas. She's only 20 years old, and she's training to be a general manager at a restaurant she started working at as a minimum wage worker just 2 years ago. Her new position could pay her $50,000 a year, and she is only a high school education. And we're seeing other workers upgrading their careers, if you will. Talk to a man from Michigan, and he was working for a long time at a, big grocery store there, and he managed the deli counter, and he sort of topped out at about $14 an hour. So he went and applied for jobs. He got a half dozen job offers and actually was asking them, hey, what are you going to do for me? Where's my promotion possibility? What's the growth potential of your company? He found a job that gave him a $2 an hour raise plus overtime. And now he's training to do a more advanced job that'll pay him another $2 an hour. So he's an example of a worker that went from retail to a production position and is really upgrading the wages he's earning.
I want to delve into this even a step further. What's specifically going on in the economy that's allowing this to happen?
Yeah, it's a convergence of a few different factors. For one, there's been really strong growth recently in some fields that employ a lot of workers that don't necessarily need to have a college degree. That especially includes the warehousing and manufacturing. E-commerce was growing swiftly before the pandemic and then was supercharged after it. So there's a lot of need for warehouse workers and truck drivers and warehouse pickers. And those jobs, often pay $15 an hour or more, which is double the minimum wage in many states. And manufacturing is another area where we've seen pretty strong growth. At the same time, coming out of the pandemic, Americans are getting out and about more, and they want to go out and shop, and they want to eat at restaurants, and they want to travel. So that's creating a big demand for workers, again, at these types of places. And some folks are finding that those restaurant workers have left and taken a job at a manufacturing site or a warehouse. And now, those restaurants, which had been getting away with paying pretty close to the minimum wage, often are having to raise their wages in order to keep and retain workers.
All right. So this is good news if you're a worker. But what about businesses? How does this shift in bargaining power affect them?
Yeah. So for businesses, if they have to pay workers more money or pay bonuses to attract workers, obviously that's going to cut into their profit margins. And that can be a challenge, especially for smaller businesses. So we've seen large companies like Amazon talk about a $15 minimum wage. And in parts of the country, Amazon kind of works in has a lot of warehouses in sort of the fringe suburbs of places. They're kind of setting the minimum wage, even if the minimum wage in the state is $7.25. We've also seen places like Target, Walmart, Costco all announce raises in recent years. So that's kind of putting pressure on these smaller businesses to keep up. And some of them are saying to us, hey, that's a real big challenge. Our business is set up to have these workers earn, something less than $15 or $20 an hour. And they're kind of struggling to make ends meet or having to pass along price increases to their customers.
Eric, looking ahead, enhanced unemployment benefits will be expiring in the fall. Could wages begin to reverse, or is there some sustainability to this?
I do think there's some sustainability to this. I think that we might be at sort of peak leverage for these workers, because they're still, the recent report showed almost 15 million people receiving unemployment benefits. If those workers come back into the labor force, that could take some pressure off, but I don't think wages will reverse. And so these workers who have gotten these promotions, gotten these raises, gotten new, better paying jobs, they're going to benefit in the longer run from that. And I think the labor market will remain, fairly tight, because we have sort of demographic trends where more Americans are retiring. We saw the pandemic caused a lot of people to kind of readjust and think, well, maybe I do want to stay home with my kids, or I need to stay out of the workforce to care for my parents. And that kind of shrinks the pool of labor. And so I think that will help, allow low wage workers to have, the type of bargaining power that they really haven't since like the 60s or 70s.
Eric Morath, lots to watch in the weeks ahead. We'll stay in touch. Thanks for talking to us.
Sure. Happy to join you.
And finally, working remotely from Hawaii is a dream for many professionals. The Aloha State's economy was devastated by the pandemic. As part of a rebound effort, marketing campaigns are encouraging people to visit and work remotely. But if you're tempted by a work-life balance that includes sun, sea, and surfing, it may not be as simple as packing up your laptop and getting a plane ticket. The WSJ's J.J. McCorvey explains.
Being able to work from essentially paradise seems very appetizing for a lot of people who've been holed up in their apartments for more than a year. But some of the cons I think go overlooked when it comes to working in Hawaii. First of all, the time difference. That's not as big of a deal if you're on vacation, right? But if you're working, that means possibly getting up at 3 a.m. to make your morning meeting. I talked to a couple of people for whom that just was not sustainable and quite calamitous for their work schedules.
And that's what's news for Monday. We're back tonight with a new show. Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Make it a good week, and thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.